You know, the religion of Hinduism, they believe in evolution, reincarnation, and they believe that if you're a bad person, if you're a sinner, you need to be punished. But my Bible says Jesus is going to forgive all your sins. Amen.
Good morning and greetings to you all in Jesus' name. Well, victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just want to say thank you for the church praying for me and for the mission in India. Thank you for your prayers and faithful support all these years. First time I'm here in the old building around 96, 97. I know Pastor Bob Treadwell, pastor's uncle, who is a graduate of Tennessee Temple School, and my dad at the same time, he went to Tennessee Temple School, so I get to know him. And I asked him, do you know any church I can go and preach and present the mission work? And he said, my nephew is there, and we can call and set an appointment. And the Lord worked it down, and we are friends with this church for many, many years, around 26 years. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I just want to give a quick brief today about the land, what I represent and what I do in the land of India. India is a country with 1.3 billion people. And India is going to be the largest population in the world, surpassing China in the year 2023. People in India speak 22 major languages, and the state religion is Hinduism. People worship 33 million gods and goddesses. Thank God we have one God, one Christ, one Jesus that can solve all our problems. Amen.
Amen.
He's our Redeemer. He's our Savior. He's our God. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And people worship so many forms of images, witchcraft, demons, worship the spirits, worship cow, worship the sun, snake, rats, you name it, they worship everything. And I want to take my Bible in India, and each time when I see people, I talk about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot be calm and quiet because Jesus made the difference in my life. He redeemed me. Amen. Thank God what Jesus is all about. I want to take the opportunity today to talk about a distinction between the Hindu state religion and how disappointed they are. And I want to give a comparison of if you look at Jesus, what will happen? In India, people are so superstitious and worship all the 33 million gods and goddesses. One of the gods they worship is Sun God, S-U-N, Sun God. Every single day, they go out towards the east in the morning. After they take a shower, they look at the sun god, S-U-N God, and they worship, literally looking at the sun rays. And, you know, they go and worship, 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 and finally, ultimately, they go blind. I take the opportunity to the people in India, why you are looking to a S-U-N God and go blind, but my Bible says, for God so loved the world, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten S-O-N, that is Jesus Christ. You know, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a great difference. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Jesus never disappoints us. He's alive today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Well, talking about, the other religion is Islam. We have 14%, and the Hindus are 79.8%. Immediately, you have a question, Brother Paul, how many Christians are there in India, it's 1% of the born-again Bible-believing Christians in India. That is 10.3 million people in India. So we need to pray for this nation. And you know, what is the hope for the people of India and the other parts of the world? Bible says in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, Bible says, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Amen. Praise the Lord. India is a country, foreign missionaries are totally banned. Country of India is closed to all Western missionaries. Our prime minister wants to make India as a Hindu nation. And if you can remember his name, Narendra Modi, you need to pray for him and for his salvation, that he may not get the country in such a darkness with all this worship of idols and idolatry, witchcraft, demons. And, you know, God can change him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And one of the saddest parts we can hear today is the children. Kids in India, 30 million abandoned kids in India. They live under the bridges, under the streets, and no one cares for them. We'll come back in our presentation how we do with the children's ministry. In India, 200,000 leper people are residing in about 750 leper colonies. And one of the things you can pray for us is anti-conversion law. What is anti-conversion law in India? No person shall convert or attempt to convert either directly or otherwise any person from indigenous faith by use of force or by inducement or any fraudulent means, nor shall any person abet any such conversion. Like for an example, if we do Sunday school ministry and children give boxes and give candies and chocolates and teach Sunday school songs to the children, and we teach them the Bible in the school and orphanage, and the government say you cannot give a chocolate or a candy or a gift so that you are drawing the attention of the children to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You cannot do that. You cannot force that. That's what the government says. If a person gets saved, it's my job as a pastor to take the new convert to a magistrate and to declare that he become a Christian. And by doing so, they lose all the privileges being a Christian, not a Hindu. And if I don't do as a pastor, I will be in jail for 10 years, no bail. That makes such a tough for the people there in India. So India needs your prayers. Thank you for your prayers. The Lord is still working there. People are getting saved. Churches are started. Brother Paul, what is the good news for us as we are supporting? And the Lord blessed us with 2,000 churches. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God is good, and the Lord is working. And we've seen so many people saved, baptized with all the persecution. But the Lord's still working in the lives and the hearts of the people because Jesus is alive. He's the answer. He's the hope. This word of God transforms. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are coming to church not to be informed, but we are coming to be the church to be transformed into the image of God so that we can have that vision and the power in our life that we can be a light to this darkened world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Coming back, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I prayed many times, "Lord, your scripture speaks to me straight away, directly. I am from India, I'm a national, and I'm reaching these masses of people, starting all the churches. But your scripture says, go into all the world." And when I look at the map, God gave me a vision, not only for India, but also the countries surrounded by Southeast Asia, Nepal, Bhutan, Burma, Bangladesh, Pakistan. All these nations, you know, they need to hear the gospel presentation one time in their life. I said, "Lord, where do you want me to start?" The Lord gave me a clear understanding that I have to go to Pakistan. Pakistan is a 220 million people. The religion of Pakistan is Islam. 99% of the population in Pakistan is Islam. They're world's watch list number 5. Christians face extreme persecution. All the Christians are considered second-class citizens in the strong Islamic country. And I just want to pray for one of our dear pastor, who is a pastor in upstate New York, and John Britt, the pastor's name, and his son was a missionary in Iraq. And last week, he was killed by the Muslims, and his body is still there. His wife and four children are, you know, protected by the U.S. government there, so they're bringing the body. Muslim nations are a little bit tougher when it comes to standing, preaching the word of God and witnessing. They don't hesitate to take your life. So you need to be in prayer for these nations. And many times, as oftentimes I mentioned to you last time, I was attacked for my life many times because they want to take me out so that the voice, the light, the word of God cannot be preached and taught to the people there. But you know, the Lord is protecting me, sparing my life. You know, I pray to God, Lord, as Paul said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Whatever it takes in my life, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I want to keep continue. Do what God wants me to do in my life. Amen. Because we are going to receive rewards in heaven. And we stand at the judgment of seat. We are going to reward it. Amen. Praise God. We need to run the race that was set before us. Amen. Praise God. And Christians in Pakistan, especially the girls, are at risk of abduction and rape. And are often forced to marry their attackers and forced into converting to Islam. And Brother Paul, how many times you've been in Pakistan? I was there for 4 times in 4 years, and we seen 3 get saved. Amen. And we started underground Bible study. And we are going next year in February to go and reach those people. Please continue to pray. Well, today, I'm going to show you 2 videos. The first video is about 2 minutes 40 seconds. It speaks about the persecution, the pastors, the believers, the churches that are facing in India. America is a blessed nation. Amen. You know, you have the religious freedoms. You can go to church. You can publicly open your Bible and witness to someone. And what a great heritage this nation. As we are recognizing the veterans and the Veterans Day, thank God for the commitment of the soldiers of this nation. They gave their life. They committed. They surrendered. Whatever it takes, they won many wars. And they keep this nation protected from invasion. And today you have all these religious freedoms because your nation fight for it. Thank God for the soldiers. Amen. As a Christian, you are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to stand firm on the ground of God's word and tell this world there is only one God in under heaven where we can get saved. Amen. Whatever it takes, maybe it is your life, maybe you're losing your family, or whatever, you're losing your rights, keep on doing and witness about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell the people that there's one God in heaven that we can claim and get saved. Amen. There's none other gods where we can get saved. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, persecution. I want to read quick a passage of scripture. You don't need to turn the Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Persecutions, afflictions, which came at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. As you are going to view the first video, it's a small church. They're meeting under a tent. So the Hindu mobs came as the Sunday services is going on, starting removing the tent. And Brother Paul, what they do they have call the police in India to protect the Christians? No, it's not going to happen there. The police are friends with the Hindus. If you go to a police, they cannot help you. And the citizens in India, you cannot have guns. This country banned. You cannot protect yourself. You are just live by the mercy of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know what we do? We just pray. And Lord, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And just start over. And my heart goes for these pastors. Pastors are faithful on the mountains, on the hills, jungles, under the bush, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the light of the Lord Jesus. After that video, we're going to show you the school and orphanage ministry. Years ago, when I come to your church, I shared my burden about the children ministry. You know, 1.3 billion people. Lord, how can I reach the masses of these people in this nation? Bible says, where there is no vision, people perish. I prayed and I prayed. I thought, maybe I need to bring these kids into the school and orphanage and give them education, give them the food, shelter, clothes, and see these kids get saved. And as they grow, I want to see them to be the pastors. And pastors' wives, we run the school for 20 years. We've seen 700 pastors came out of the school by the grace of God. Amen. And the mandatory in the school is we will preach the word of God. I cannot stop. I cannot quit not to preach this gospel, this word of God to the children. If somebody put a pistol on me and say, are you going to quit? Or we're going to take your life? I will say, take my life. I'm going to preach until my last breath. One time a man came to me with a knife to kill me. He said, we are so angry on you because you're converting all these Hindus into a Christianity. If you're not going to stop what you're stopping preaching to these people and converting and changing them, I said to them, I'm not converting any person. I'm just giving the truth. And the truth make them set free. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he get upset and said, if you're not going to stop, I'm going to kill you. I said, wait a minute, you can take my life, but I want to tell you something. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He died on the cross. He gave his life on the cross. He shed his precious blood. He take all the thorns. He take all the pain. Can you show from all your Hindu religion that your religion is a religion that cannot give a salvation? It cannot take out your sins. You know, the religion of Hinduism, they believe in evolution, reincarnation, and they believe that if you're a bad person, if you're a sinner, you need to be punished. But my Bible says Jesus is going to forgive all your sins. Amen. He's going to take away all your sins and make a new creature. He loves you. He cares for you. He died for you. As I'm testifying to this man, he put his knife down and the Holy Spirit bring him under conviction. And he said, I need that Jesus Christ. Instantly he gets saved and now he's a pastor of the church. Because of the 10 churches he's established. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, friends. Is Jesus. Well, 20 years gone by, the government said you need to construct a parking lot and a playground and extra classrooms. I find out one of the resources from the government agency, why they're putting me so much pressure to do this. And one of the staff, they said, because they want to shut down your institution because you're preaching the Bible to the kids and people getting saved and pastors are getting raised. If they make you to shut down, then the light is going to be closed. Oh, then what do I need to do then? I asked them, well, you got to build it. Well, I prayed about it. Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to quit or do you want me to go? The Lord said, don't be a quitter. If you quit, the Satan, the devil is going to laugh at you. And he thinks he's get victory. But we have a victory in Jesus. The Lord said, keep going, do it. And I started by faith. In America, it's going to cost $1.2 million for the expansion of the parking place and playground and all that. But in India, it's going to cost $300,000. Lord, where can I get $300,000? I don't have the means. And I said to God, whatever you want me to do, but I have faith and trust in you. And I started presenting the need to the churches. The Lord supplied $150,000.
We started the project, and we're going to start the children's school and orphanage very soon. So please pray for us. I'm here for 3 weeks, short 3 weeks. One of the churches I choose to be here is your church. And I'm heading back to India on 21st of November, next Monday. It's a long flight, so if somebody asked me how long it takes to India, it takes 26 hours flying time and 2 complete days with layovers. And what is the time difference? It's 12-hour time difference. So it's so hard for me to come to America to preach in English, because I don't preach in English to my people in India. They don't understand. So I preach in my own languages in India. When I come, I translate my sermons and bring it to the American churches. The greatest, toughest thing is driving in America. You know, Brother Paul, why? What is the problem? Our roads are good. You know, our traffic lights in India are cows, dogs, donkeys, and monkeys. And in America, it's different. And we drive on the left-hand side, and you drive in the right-hand side. That makes me harder. So it's tough. So please pray for my journeys. And just ready to go back and reach those people, the pastors. And thank you for your prayers. Thank you for standing behind this ministry. Words cannot express our thankfulness, but thank God for each and every person in this church to be a great blessing to the mission in India. You heard about C.T. Studd, a missionary to China, India, and Africa. He said one time, only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And one more time he said, if Jesus Christ is God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. So as we watch those two videos, one after the other, just think about this nation, the darkness. The light is still shining. We need to see more people get saved, more kids in the school, more pastors trained, and more churches established. As we watch the videos this morning, the two videos, brother, help us, one after the other. This is the 10th church here. Sunday worship service is going on. This happened 3 months ago in India. He is the pastor. Thank you. please pray for all those people that they need the Lord Jesus and the Lord touch their hearts and they get saved. Let's watch the second video of the school ministry, children's ministry. This church has a great influence to construct the building in the year 2000. I came here in 1998 and presented the need to Pastor Stan and the church here, and the church is so gracious to help us with the big amounts to finish the building. Thank you, church. Because of your giving, you can see those kids in the school and orphanage. So we are doing the expansion on the back of the existing building to meet the codes by the government. As I said to you this morning, I don't want to quit the orphanage and this children's ministry. I want to see these kids come to the school and orphanage, get education, taught the Bible, get saved, prepare them for the pastors of this nation. We started digging the foundation for 7 feet down. See, that is the back of this existing building there. This is Paul Victor from southern India. Today I'm in front of Dr. Joseph School, and as you can see, the building project is under construction for the playground for the children's school ministry. And we have all the steel that was parked in front of the gate area, and they're doing all the cutting work. And thank you for your prayers and thank you for your support. Please kindly pray that the project will be concluded for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. When we are doing the foundation 7 feet down, the neighbor's wall is collapsed. Praise God, no one was hurt, and the neighbors came. It's because of your God, a living God. No one was get hurt. Praise the Lord for the testimony surrounded by the school and the church and orphanage. The Lord protected each and every worker, the crew members there.
25th of August, 2022. Today is Thursday in India. As you look here, we are pouring the concrete today for the two columns we raised for the foundation. As you look in the mat on the bottom, the pit was taken for 7 feet down and three layers of steel used with a beam. And today we are pouring the concrete at Dr. Joseph School Playground Project. And thank you for all your prayers and thank you for your support. This is Paul Victor, Baptist missionary in southern India. Thank you and for all your prayers. Thank you. Have a blessed day. Please continue to pray for the completion of this project. Praise the Lord. God bless.
Always begin with a prayer. One of our pastors are praying when we started pouring the concrete. A lot of concrete we use for the strength of the foundation because we go 5 floors. We are going to add the existing building with the new building, and it's going to be a facility that will accommodate parking, playground, and the extra classrooms. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate for showing the video. We are running a little time, so I want to conclude the video there, pause it, and we are going to just go with the scripture today, this morning service. Brother Paul, what is the importance that you came to America for a short 3 weeks? Number one, the pastors in India, we support them to raise $100 American. Like when you see the pastor is faithful and committed in the church, playing the drum and reaching those people, we support them $100 American a month. That is $3.18 a day. And 25 pastors, they ask me, "Preacher, we need financial support. Can you help us?" I said, "We'll pray." Number two, I have a friend in America, Pastor Stan, and the church there, I will share the need. When the Lord leads them, He will supply the need. Amen. Just prayer changes things. I said, "You pray in India. God will do some miracles. I do not know, but God does." Amen. Number two, the important thing is, as you see the video just now, we need to finish the project for the children. I'd rather stay in India to finish the project and to reach those people, the children, the churches established, and evangelism. Please stay in prayer for the mission work and the need for the project. As I said, we need $150,000. Brother Paul, how can you raise? Do you know any means? I don't have any means. But you know, the Lord said to me in the scripture, I believe in the Bible. Jesus said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you." You know, we got to do what God wants us to do, and we got to believe and trust in God that God is going to do a miracle. He's going to do it. Amen. He made me to be running this ministry for the past 38 years in my life. And He's a faithful God all these years, and He's going to be faithful in the next coming years. Amen. He never fails. Amen. Well, Pastor gave me a time frame. Don't get nervous, okay? In India, if I conclude my sermon for 45 minutes, they come and pray for me at the altar. Hey, we need to pray for our pastor that he's all right, amen. But I'm in America, in New England. I know the culture. I know the time. Thank God to see Pastor Stan, Dad, and others. Wow, their faithfulness. Amen. Thank God for the faithful men and women in America still standing for the Word of God, the truth. That's why the Lord still blessing this nation. Amen. Thank God for your faithfulness. Well, I want to be very brief today. I want to read passages of Scriptures. And then I'm going to turn back to the pastor. He gave me 40 minutes time. We are going to close in 15 minutes. So don't get nervous. Don't get tense. I got 15 pages of my sermon, but I'm going to put it together. Just pray for me as I speak this morning. I want to give something from the Word of God. I want to talk a few moments about a Christian, how we should go forward in our Christian life. I want to focus today, stay committed. Stay committed. And what is the meaning of commitment? Is a promise to do, a promise to be loyal to someone, willingness to give your time and energy. Look at our nation, America. You know, there are so many soldiers, Army, Navy, Air Force, personnel. When they wear the uniform, when they have your national flag, they're committed to give their life. Why? Because they want to do or die to protect your nation. Bible says, as a Christians, we got to be soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why we need to commit ourselves to the Lord? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We got to be very, very careful and trust in God and commit ourselves to God, because the devil is like a roaring lion to distract your faith, your belief, and your trust in God. Psalms chapter 37, verses 3 to 5, Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Delight, the word delight means to gain great pleasure, satisfaction, and happiness, to serve God. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, Bible says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commitment is something is very important in our Christian life. You know, commitment is one of the words most people would like to remove from the dictionaries. You know, in India, we have 1.3 billion people, 1% are born-again Christians, and 98% are Hindus, and they're worshiping all these 33 million gods and goddesses. You know, their commitment to those gods will not make them free from the bondage of sin. But thank God we have Christ, we have Jesus. As I said to you in John chapter 3, verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. We need to be committed ourselves to tell this world that there is a God in heaven, that is his Jesus. Amen. Jesus alone can save their souls. I want to give you a quick illustration, a real story about a family. Years ago, there was a great revival in Wales, in England. If you go to the history, in 1873, my great-great-grandfather was saved under the ministry of William Carey in a flea market. And when my great-great-grandfather was saved, he was kicked out of the family. He was, persecuted for his Christian faith. He was beaten, and his dad wants to see him to die immediately because he has Jesus in his life. But praise God, the Lord did a miracle, and my great-great-grandfather ran from the home, and he went to the missionary, and he took him to the hospital, and then he was baptized, joined the church, discipled, and he married a Christian lady in the church, and today we have the Bible in our families, in our churches, in my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. As this revival is going on in Wales, England, many missionaries came to India from England, and they came and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the regions, this missionary came to Assam. Remember this region, Assam in Northeast. You know, this state has a tribal communities, and they are very quite primitive and aggressive into the area. And into this hostile area and hostile, aggressive community, this Welsh missionary family came to reach those people to tell about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this Hinduism in India, the missionaries in those days are not welcomed. So finally, this Welsh missionary succeeded to converting a man and his wife and two children in that little village. The man's faith proved contagious, and many villagers began to accept Christianity. Angry, the village chief summoned all the villagers. He then called the first family who had first converted to renounce their faith in public or face execution. Moved by the Holy Spirit, the man sung reply, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back." Enraged at the refusal of the man, the chief ordered his archers to arrow down the two children. As both the children lay twitching on the floor, the chief asked the next question, "Will you deny your faith? You have lost both your children. You will lose your wife too." But the man replied again, singing, "Though none go with me, still I will follow, no turning back." The chief was beside himself with fury and ordered his wife to be arrowed down. In a moment, she joined her two children in death. "Now," he asked for the last time, "I will give you one more opportunity to deny your faith and live." In the face of the death, the man sung, "The cross was before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back." He was shot dead, like the rest of the family. But with their death, a miracle took place. The chief who had ordered the killings was moved by the faith of this family. He wondered, why should this man and his two children die for a man who lived in a faraway land on another continent 2,000 years ago? There must be a supernatural power behind this family. I need that supernatural power. He called all the villagers in front of all the people, the villagers. He kneeled down and accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. But I want to focus you this morning. It takes a sacrifice. It takes a commitment. It takes some courage. It takes a faith. Maybe you are here today.
you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're coming to church. Maybe you do not have that experience. In India, people, they cannot kill cows. They have to worship the cows because of this nature of the country. People are dark. But you know, when I come to America, I eat all the beef and steak. I love it. People in India, they ask me, "Preacher, what did you eat?" I tell them, "I eat beef and steak." What? "How does it taste for you?" I said, "It tastes good for me." "Can you explain to us?" I said, "I cannot explain to you. You need to taste and see how God is good. Amen." Whatever it takes in your life, whatever it comes in your life to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to rejoice in the Lord because He's alive. He's true. He's a living God. He cares for you. He will take care of every situation that you're passing through in your Christian life today. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will resolve all your problems in your life. He will resolve the problem of sin. You know, He never looks what you are. He looks your heart. He looks your intentions. He's a God to save you today. He's a God to bring you out of your trouble. "Preacher, I do not know what you're talking about. How can I get saved today? I won't have the joy in my life." Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We don't ask you to come, or we don't call your names. It's between you and your God. Maybe you're coming to church. Maybe you're hearing many times the word of God. But do you have the relationship with Jesus Christ this morning? You know, if you do not have that relationship with Christ, may I ask you and beg you today to make the decision to pray a prayer. "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved." Look at the people, 1.3 billion people worshiping those gods and goddesses. Those gods cannot hear, they cannot see, they cannot answer. But we have the true living God, Jesus Christ. He's going to answer your prayer. He's going to solve your problem. He's going to step into your life and make a new creature. Everything is going to be fantastic in your life if you say yes to Jesus this morning. "Lord, I need you." If you're a Christian, just want to encourage your commitment to God. There are so many areas in your Christian life. Maybe you're afraid of witnessing to somebody. Maybe you're afraid to give a gospel tract. Maybe you're afraid to invite someone to the church. Maybe at your workplace, maybe your college, maybe in your profession, wherever you are. The Lord Jesus is coming back soon. The days are too short. He said we need to get occupied in telling the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only hope. He's the light to the world. What is the last time in your Christian life you are able to stand up for the Lord Jesus and talk about Christ and see somebody get saved in your Christian life?